And we are going through 2 Samuel. We've ended up at chapter 13, verse 13, where Amnon, by the ruse of being sick, has his sister or half-sister sent to him to minister to him on the sick bed. And of course, it is a ruse. And he gets Tamar by himself. So Tamar goes in to him to minister to him, and he asks her to lay with him. And apparently, she does not want to be disobedient to the law of her God. So she calls on the law, and she said this would be disobedient. She says, why don't you go ask the king? Okay? This is obedience to parents. Honor your mother and father. And that's the commandment she's calling on. And she's telling Amnon to do it. Even adding that the king, if you ask him, he won't withhold me from you. But she will not go before the time. So, continues here. He doesn't listen. Howbeit, he would not hearken to her voice, but being stronger than she, forced her and lay with her. Then Amnon hated her exceedingly, so that the hatred wherewith he hated her was greater than the love wherewith he had loved her. And Amnon said to her, arise, be gone. That's the way it is when lust overtakes you, and what seems like it will be sweet can turn to bitterness in your mouth. And that's what happened to Amnon. Now he despised her, even though he forced her. The change was in him, not her. And she said to him, there is no cause. This evil in sending me away is greater than the other that thou didst to me. But he would not hearken to her voice. Then she called a servant that ministered unto him and said, put now this woman out from me. So he called a servant, said, put this woman out, and bolt the door after her. So he steals her honor, he robs her of her virginity, and now he's not going to do the honorable thing. You know, today we have the proverbial shotgun wedding. In that day, well, if you went through the law and everything, he had not committed adultery. Tamar was not another man's wife. Yes, they did break, perhaps, a lesser commandment. If we're going to have lesser and greater commandments, I would say not getting permission from your parents, not honoring them, is far less than murder and less than taking another man's wife, adultery. The situation could have been remedied. They could have had their, you know, shotgun wedding or double sword wedding, whatever it would be at that time. But he wouldn't do it. Now he despises her. And I believe this is an answer to the curse that came upon David's house, pronounced by Samuel the prophet. Of course, this curse was brought about by David's own sin, the repercussions of which are now in his house. And this is only the beginning of it, as we'll see. She said to him, there's no cause. This evil in sending me away is greater than the other that thou did unto me. But he would not hearken to her. She was willing. She was willing to stay and be his wife. But now he won't have her at all. Just stole the flower of her virginity, and now he's going to boot her out. A one-night stand type of man, huh? So he called his minister. He called one of his servants and had her kicked out. And she had a garment of diverse colors upon her, for with such robes were the king's daughters that were virgins appareled. Then his servants brought her out and bolted the door after her. And Tamar put ashes on her head, and rent her garment of divers colors that was on her, and laid her hand on her head, and went on crying. And Absalom, her brother, said to her, hath Amnon, thy brother, been with thee? But hold now thy peace, my sister, he is thy brother. Regard not this thing. So Tamar remained desolate in her brother Absalom's house. But when King David heard of all these things, he was very wroth. And Absalom spoke unto his brother Amnon neither good nor bad. For Absalom hated Amnon, because he had forced his sister Tamar. And it came to pass after 2 full years that Absalom had sheep shears in Baal Hazor, which is beside Ephraim. And Absalom invited all the king's sons. And Absalom came to the king and said, "Behold now, thy servant hath sheep shears. Let the king, I beseech thee, and his servants go with thy servant." And the king said to Absalom, "Nay, my son, let us not all go. Now go, lest we be chargeable unto thee." And he pressed him, howbeit he would not go, but blessed him. Then said Absalom, "If not, I pray thee, let my brother Amnon go with us." And the king said to him, "Why should he go with thee?" But Absalom pressed him, and he let Amnon and all the king's sons go with him. Now Absalom had commanded his servants, saying, "Mark ye now, when Amnon's heart is merry with wine, and when I say to you, smite Amnon, then kill him, fear not. Have I not commanded you? Be courageous and be valiant." And the servants of Absalom did unto Amnon as Absalom had commanded. Then all the king's sons arose, and every man got him up upon his mule and fled. Well, Absalom only wanted Amnon. They all fled in fear for their lives, or perhaps anyone would. You're there at Absalom's place with his servants and their swords, and you didn't come to fight. He didn't come prepared for battle. So they fled. "The sword shall not depart from your house." And here's the beginning of the sword in his house. This is only the beginning. "And the king arose and tore his garments and lay on the earth, and all his servants stood by with their clothes rent. And Jonadab, the son of Shimea, David's brother, answered and said, 'Let not my lord suppose that they have slain all the young men, the king's sons, for Amnon only is dead. For by the appointment of Absalom has this been determined from the day that he forced his sister Tamar.'" Oh, the man had patience. 2 years he was in the planning and in the waiting for his brother's blood, ready to carry out this vengeance for his sister. 2 years. "Now therefore, let not my lord the king take this thing to heart, to think that all the king's sons are dead." Okay. "But Absalom fled, and the young man that kept the watch lifted up his eyes and looked, and behold, there came much people by the way of the hillside behind him." Of course, the execution of Amnon by Absalom was not a lawful execution. Cannot take the law into our own hands I'll just leave it at that. If you're interested in what the law says about that they were under at that time, you can research it and go back to Leviticus and Deuteronomy for yourself. But the punishment fornication was not death at that time, because she was not another man's wife. She was not betrothed, obviously. We don't see that she was betrothed to any man. Otherwise, she would have said, "Don't do this thing, I am betrothed," instead of saying, "Ask the king and he will not withhold from you." So we get there the indication that she was not betrothed. She was not another man's wife, so it was not adultery. And there is a differentiation there in the law of God. And I cover that in my study on betrothal, marriage, and divorce, if you're interested in that. So Jonadab said to the king, "Behold, the king's sons come as the servant said, so it is." And it came to pass, as soon as he had made an end of speaking, that behold, the king's sons came and lifted up their voice and wept. And the king also and all of his servants wept very sore. But Absalom fled and went to Talmai, the son of Ammihud, king of Geshur. And David mourned for his son every day. And we can see what's coming here, that Absalom is now to the king, his father David, as David was to Saul, in hiding. Of course, for very different reasons. So Absalom fled and went to Geshur, and was there 3 years. And the soul of King David longed to go forth to Absalom, for he was comforted concerning Amnon, seeing he was dead. So it had been 3 years, and time does heal some wounds. Now Joab, the son of Zeruiah, perceived that the king's heart was toward Absalom. And Joab sent to Tekoah, and fetched thence a wise woman, and said unto her, I pray thee, feign thyself to be a mourner, and put on now mourning apparel, and anoint not thyself with oil, but be as a woman that hath had a long time mourned for the dead, and come to the king, and speak on this manner unto him. So Joab put the words in her mouth. And when this woman of Tekoah spoke to the king, she fell on her face to the ground, and did obeisance, and said, Help, O king. And the king said unto her, What aileth thee? And she answered, Oh, I am indeed a widow woman, and my husband is dead, and thy handmaid had two sons. And they strove together in the field, and there was none to part them, but the one smote the other and slew him. And behold, the whole family is risen against thine handmaid. And they said, Deliver him that smote his brother, that we may kill him for the life of his brother whom he slew, and we will destroy the heir also, and they shall quench my coal which is left, and shall not leave to my husband neither name nor remainder upon the earth. And the king said to the woman, Go into the house, I will give charge concerning thee. And the woman of Tekoah said unto the king, My lord king, the iniquity be on me and on my father's house, and the king and his throne be guiltless. And the king said, Whosoever saith aught unto thee, bring him to me, and he shall not touch thee any more. Then said she, I pray thee, let the king remember the Lord thy God, that thou wouldst not suffer the revengers of blood to destroy any more, lest they destroy my son. And he said, As the Lord liveth, there shall not one hair of thy son fall to the earth. Then the woman said, Let thine handmaid, I pray thee, speak one word unto my lord the king. And he said, Say on. And the woman said, Wherefore then hast thou thought such a thing against the people of God? For the king does speak this thing as one which is faulty, in that the king doth not fetch home again his banished. For we must needs die, and are as water spilt on the ground, which cannot be gathered up again. Neither doth God respect any person, yet doth he devise means that his banished be not expelled from him. Now therefore, that I am come to speak of this thing unto my lord the king, it is because the people have made me afraid, and thy handmaid said, I will now speak to the king. It may be that the king will perform the request of his handmaid, for the king will hear to deliver his handmaid out of the hand of the man that would destroy me and my son together out of the inheritance of God. Then thine handmaid said, The word of my lord the king shall now be comfortable, for as an angel of God, so is my lord the king to discern good and bad. Therefore the Lord thy God will be with thee. Then the king answered and said to the woman, Hide not from me, I pray thee, the thing that I shall ask thee. And the woman said, Let my lord the king now speak. And the king said, Is not the hand of Joab with thee in all this? And the woman answered and said, As thy soul liveth, my lord the king, none can turn to the right hand or the left from aught that my lord the king has spoken. For thy servant Joab, he bade me, and put all these words in the mouth of thine handmaid, to fetch about this form of speech hath thy servant Joab done this thing. And my lord is wise according to the wisdom of an angel of God to know all the things that are in the earth. And the king said to Joab, Behold, now I have done this thing. Go therefore, bring the young man Absalom again. And Joab fell to the ground on his face and bowed himself and thanked the king. And Joab said, Today thy servant knoweth that I have found grace in thy sight, my lord, O king, that thou in that the king hath fulfilled the request of his servant. So Joab arose and went to Geshur and brought Absalom to Jerusalem. And the king said, let him return to his own house, and let him not see my face. So Absalom returned to his own house and saw not the king's face. But in all Israel there was none to be so much praised as Absalom for his beauty. From the sole of his foot, even to the crown of his head, there was no blemish in him. And when he polled his head, for it was at every year's end that he polled it, because the hair was very heavy on him, therefore he polled it. He weighed it in the hair of his head at 200 shekels after the king's weight. Unto Absalom there were born 3 sons, and 1 daughter, whose name was Tamar. She was a woman of fair countenance. So Absalom dwelt 2 full years in Jerusalem and saw not the king's face. Therefore Absalom sent for Joab to have sent him to the king, but he would not come to him. And when he sent again the second time, he would not come. Therefore he said to his servants, see Joab's field near mine, and he hath barley there. Go and set it on fire. And Absalom's servants set the field on fire. Then Joab arose and came to Absalom unto his house and said unto him, wherefore have thy servants set my field on fire? And Absalom answered Joab, behold, I sent unto thee, saying, come hither, that I may send thee to the king, to say, wherefore am I come from Geshur? It had been good for me to have been there still. Now therefore let me see the king's face, and if there be any iniquity in me, let him kill me. So Joab came to the king and told him, and when he had called for Absalom, he came to the king and bowed himself on his face to the ground before the king, and the king missed Absalom. So we see an estranged relationship between a father and a son here, and the effect of 2 years back in his home, and the king staying away from him on purpose, of course, finding it hard perhaps to forgive him for killing Amnon. But finally we see a reconciliation of a sort, where he finally allows him to come before his face and see the king, and he kissed Absalom. And it came to pass after this, Absalom prepared chariots and horses and 50 men to run before him. And Absalom rose up early and stood beside the way of the gate. And it was so that when any man had a controversy, came to the king for judgment, then Absalom called unto him and said, of what city art thou? And he said, thy servant is one of the tribes of Israel. And Absalom said unto them, see, thy matters are good and right, but there is no man deputed of the king to hear thee. Absalom said, moreover, on that I were made judge in the land, and that every man which hath any suit or cause might come unto me, and I would do him justice. And it was so that when any man came nigh to him to do obeisance, he put forth his hand, and took him and kissed him. And on this manner did Absalom to all Israel that came to the king for judgment. So Absalom stole the hearts of the men of Israel. And it came to pass, after 40 years, that Absalom said unto the king, I pray thee, let me go and pay my vow, which I have vowed unto the Lord in Hebron. For thy servant vowed a vow while I abode at Geshur in Syria, saying, if the Lord shall bring me again indeed to Jerusalem, then I will serve the Lord. Okay, you're listening to Cross the Border, and we'll have to pick up here after the break. We'll be back in a few minutes.